Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I'm Stephen Lang.
And I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, babes?
I am ecstatic.
Oh, I bet it's Eurovision week, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It is Eurovision week. I wait for this week all year. The last couple of years, well, not 2019, obviously not 2020 because got cancelled. I've been there. I've been a couple of years now. And I'm just over the moon. Just pop music heaven for a week for me.
See, I have to be really honest. I've never really sat and watched a full Eurovision, which I know's quite shocking. But I'm trying to get
for a gay man, Bob. I mean, you're not putting the work in.
I'm really probably letting it down. So it starts this week. There's semi-finals and quarterfinals.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's two rounds of semi-finals to get into the final show on Saturday. So we record this on the Tuesday. So straight after the show, when we've recorded, there'll be a semi-final, and there's another one on Thursday. And then 12 songs are knocked out. They don't then perform in the final. But the UK is one of five countries that performs automatically in the final. So we'll be in there. Yeah. Anyway, Bob, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good, thank you. Really good. I am really just positive even more. Now that this week we're allowed to go indoor, I've still not made any reservations, though. So I sat on social media. I'm even looking at people jealous that have gone to Toby Carvery, thinking, God, I'd love a Toby. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm making the most of it. I'm going to start making some little reservations, eating indoors, saying that we'll probably have an heat wave next week. It'll be typical, but no, just really, really nice.
I really like seeing the pictures of people who so some pubs and stuff had opened at midnight on the Sunday. Like, because Monday was the first. I like seeing all these groups, like girls all dressed up, but it was like 1 minute past midnight on a Sunday going into a Monday. I mean, have they not got work the next day? Do you know what I mean? Like,
this is the thing, the day wise of it, I don't get why they couldn't have done it on, or maybe it was an intentional thing that it wasn't done on a Friday, because that would make more sense, the Friday, the Saturday.
I think it's probably, it definitely is an intentional thing. Every one that they've done has been on a Monday, every kind of release of the lockdown. I assume it's so that people don't go like crazy on the weekend. I mean, I imagine people still do go crazy, but you'll break up some of that like intensity of crowds and things like that. I haven't taken any advantage of the new ones yet, but I guess until tonight when my friend comes over, I might even give him a hug. Who knows?
Oh, yeah, treat yourself. I've feel a little bit run down. You just know where you feel a little bit achy and just a little bit duh. So haven't been out as of yet, but...
Have you had your second COVID jab yet?
No, so I'm due mine, I think, in about 2 weeks.
So mine just got brought forward.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. So when's yours?
Thursday.
Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, so mine's actually only, I think it's only 9 weeks after I had my first one, but I got a text saying, I'd already booked it for a couple of weeks, and then I got another text saying, book your thing, and I was like, well, I'll have a look and see when the available dates are, and they were like, yeah, like 2 weeks, so, well, no, sorry, 2 days, so I thought, well, I may as well just do it, so yeah, I've now got
that. Yeah, definitely.
But then the reason I asked that is because you said you're feeling a bit run down. I wondered if it's because you'd had your second jab and feeling the effects, but...
No, I'm really looking forward to having, and I don't even like injections. No, I'm not a fan. But so I feel a little bit strange saying I'm looking forward to a vaccination, but I truly am. Mm. And that's what I still don't get where, and I know everyone has different reasons, but for me, I'm taking every little bit, every precaution that we can take, I'm here for it.
And, yeah, totally.
Especially with the more variants we're getting and stuff, I just think, to me, it's a no-brainer.
I definitely think, I mean, I'm still going to be wearing a mask for the foreseeable, on public transport. I don't wear it out in the street, but I never did. But certainly on public transport and, you know, wherever I'm told to, really. You know, I've been to Westfield in Stratford and there you have to wear one going around there, things like that. I'll still do that, I imagine, for the foreseeable, even after I've had my second vaccine. But it does mean that when I go visit my family for the first time in a few weeks, I will be fully vaccinated, which will be great and means that I'm going to stay with my grandparents who have both been fully vaccinated. My mum and her husband have both been fully vaccinated. It just gives you like a bit of a sense of security, which although I still had after having one, I think probably after two, it's just that extra bit, isn't it? I don't know.
And I think it's probably more for other people that I'm keen to have it. Now restrictions are that we can go into care homes. So when I go and see Nanny Norris, that the fact for me, and not just my nan, the whole residential home for me, I just when I'm going in, I'll feel even better if I've got double vaccinations,
double whammy.
Yeah, we're double vaxxers. Yeah. I just because I didn't get it first time, but I don't know if they was made, and I was just grateful for the AstraZeneca at the time. But I've seen a lot of people on the gram that get badges.
Oh yeah, the little stickers.
Yeah, I never got a sticker.
So I want one.
Want stickers.
I didn't get one first time round, and I'm because now I'm not going to the XL, which I assume would probably have the stickers. I'm going back to East Ham Leisure Centre. They didn't have stickers last time. I'll be absolutely fuming if I don't get a sticker this time. I'm going to have to buy one online or something. I want a bloody sticker. It's just something on top of being able to maybe go to cinema or like you said, to have dinner indoors. It's just kind of nice to with the jab, like we said, another thing to look forward to and get done and back to normal. And hopefully, like you said, I'm hearing rumours that we may get a bit nicer weather next week after the hailstorms and Christ knows what we've had this week.
All right, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? As restrictions have lifted, for the weather to get a bit better, I think we all need it. Have a little spring in our step.
Mm-hmm. It's happening.
It's happening. Summer's coming.
It certainly is.
I'm ready for Pride.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, hopefully, if it all goes ahead, because they did cancel Brighton, didn't they? But
I know. Why was that?
They said that they couldn't get the insurance in case they had to cancel it. So they cancelled it kind of preemptively. But Brighton's a month before London, Soho. So I'm hopeful that things will still go ahead. I mean, I'll be talking about not drinking. I will be out of my tree, I'm sure. not on a march in, because the plan is still to do it, so let's hope, eh?
I've just thought of that, because but by June, it's after June 21st, does that mean, sorry, because I'm really rubbish at what the different dates mean, post 21st of June, does that mean social distance goes out the window? Because I'm thinking ITV are going to have a big bus if we're all 2 metres away.
That's a good point. A string of buses, a chain of buses.
Double-decker.
Technically, it is supposed to be on the 21st, the end of all restrictions. I think realistically, it probably won't be for at least maybe, I think they'll add on another couple of weeks. But again, September is, 2.5 months off the end of June. So it could be fine.
And it is still 2 metres, isn't it? Because somewhere, I'm sure it's, someone was saying something about 1 metre, and I thought, has it changed? And I don't know.
I think 2 metres like in a queue or something, but it can be like a metre. It's like a metre plus now. It's not actually very clear, I don't think. But I've read a metre in places as well.
Halfway there. We've gone from 2 to 1.
Yeah, and now we can hug. I mean, whatever next, eh?
Oh, mate, happy days.
Well, we have an exciting show coming up today. Who are our guests, Bob?
So we have got the lovely Love Islander couple, Naz and Eva.
Oh, yeah, looking forward to speaking to them.
From Winter Love Island. So excited to talk to them, because obviously they've come out of the villa and pretty much gone straight into a lockdown.
Yeah, I feel for the Winter Love Islands, because they never had the opportunity to do those things that many of the other Love Islanders get to do, right?
I know, they kind of miss that, going to events and, you say. So I'm hoping for them that they have time to catch up before the summer one starts.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be talking to my lovely friend and my cast member, Clelia. So Fab Show, a reality special. We love a reality special.
That's what we're all about here at FUBAR. So, great to speak to them. Showbiz news this week, though, on top of, obviously, for me, Eurovision, which has just been sucking up all my energy and time.
Actually, through the Zoom, inspires me to want to watch it, because I can feel the passion in your voice.
I tell you, please, Bob, give it a go tonight. BBC Four, 8 p.m. Just give it a try. I'm sure you'll love it when you. It's I'm only 2 hours. It's only 2 hours. It's not the full like 4 hour Saturday show. Then I don't think there'll be some pop songs on there that you'll like. But other than Eurovision, have you heard the new wedding news?
Ariana
Grande. Well, maybe she's not Ariana Grande anymore. Can't remember what her new husband's name is. It is
Dalton Gomez.
Dalton Gomez. Ariana Gomez.
Don't have the same ring. I reckon she'll keep
a Grande. Yeah, what do you think about that?
Got to. But in saying that, I think she's almost at a Mariah level. I think you could even drop a surname like Adele. Just be Ariana. Right. Name another Ariana.
I certainly can't. Yeah, good point. Now, good point.
So I think drop it. Go to Adele level.
What do you make of it? Because she's had a lot of string of boyfriends, hasn't she? But she seems to have be pretty serious with this guy. Pretty quickly. Apparently, he's a multimillionaire real estate agent. Always
helps, I'm guessing.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever attracted you to multimillionaire real estate agent Dalton Gomez, Ariana Selena? Yes, I mean, what do you think?
I mean, to be fair, she's got a few coins of her own. Yeah. But I think, do you know what? Sometimes, and in the public eye, it's so documented when you're in relationships and then you have breakups. And I think the good thing to come out of maybe having several relationships is you kind of, after everyone, you know what you want in a relationship and you know what feels right and what doesn't. And I kind of hope that she's met someone and she thinks, do you know what, this is what I've been looking for, this is what I want. And, well, I'm guessing that is what she thinks.
Yeah.
Allegedly married him. And what a stunning ring, can I just say.
But
I think even though we have read and seen her in several relationships, I think maybe she's at a point where this feels right.
I've always had a bit of a funny, I absolutely love her. I mean, not to take away from that. And I think she's a brilliant artist and a great pop star. But I always remember a friend of mine who'd worked the red carpet for some big music show. And Ariana was due to come out to get photographed, and then apparently was like, I can't do this today. I'm not pretty enough today. So all these paps are like ready to go, and she just was like, no, I'm really sorry, but I just don't feel pretty enough today. I wonder if she's just a bit all over the place. I mean, I think when you're like that kind of level of famous, you can kind of do what you want, can't you? Like you mentioned Mariah or Celine or a Madonna, those people with the one names, Adele, they can pretty much do exactly what they want. And I wonder if with Ariana, it's like, well, today she wanted to get married, so let's just do it. It was apparently a really intimate ceremony in her home in California, only 20 guests. So, yeah, who knows, really?
And then the funniest thing, because sometimes you think, especially with a lot of A-list celebrities, you kind of expect their weddings to be so over the top and so plastered everywhere. But maybe when you're at that level, you want the complete opposite.
Yeah.
And where it wasn't spoke about, I guess there was probably no helicopter paps going over the garden, like, because it was so
good point.
But yeah, not in a magazine. But no, good luck to them.
I agree. I think very much good luck to them. Let's hope it's for the best, and let's hope it works out. So Hollywood romance. So you know how those usually go, Bob.
And if it don't work out, I'm sure there'll be a fantastic album.
Oh, I mean, she's queen of the heartbreak song, isn't she? So yeah, enough exactly. To worry about that. There was a big some big Strictly news this week though as well. I mean, it's a bit early for Strictly season, but they're obviously thinking about it because Zoe Ball has quit. It Takes Two. She's been a presenter on it for 10 years, I think. And was a bit of a surprise, I thought, she would decide to quit. But then I was having a discussion with a colleague today about it, and was saying that it must actually be quite intense doing the Radio 2 breakfast show 5 days a week, and then all, you know, that was probably what, until sort of nine, then having to wait all day to do your next bit of work at 5:30. Obviously there'll be pre-prep and pre-recording and things like that. At 6:30, that's a long day when you've got to do both for that sort of 3-4 month period, and Strictly, don't you think?
It must be almost like living on jet lag time, because bearing in mind, when you've got to get up at the crack of dawn, you've got to work out what time you're then going to bed.
Yeah. so very regimented life, isn't it? That kind of
thing. Definitely. And to me, like them times where you have that horrible alarm that goes off, if you've got, I call it airport time.
Yeah, yeah. It's got to get a flight.
Yeah. Now, if you're going on a flight, you don't mind the alarm going off, that awful iPhone alarm sounds, which just literally, if I hear it out and about and someone's setting up, it literally, there's something about it that it's, I hate it.
Your heart is hardwired to your brain. So like...
it really is. I associate it with well, being woken up, which I don't like. But yeah, to go from that and then do night work, I can imagine does play a part, but also, Ian Waite's left as well.
Yeah, yeah. So he's been a long-term staple of... I mean, he's been on this show with us before, and he's been a long-term staple on Strictly, and he's obviously kind of like the expert and gives his opinion on the dances and the rehearsals and how they're all coming on and stuff. And yeah, he's quitting as well. I wonder if there's some... So Ryland took over, or not took over, was kind of job-sharing with Zoe... I think from last year or the year before. And I wonder if that was a sort of a little test to see how he would work out doing that job more full time, maybe. And maybe they're trying to make some wider changes to the show.
Yeah, that's the point. Yeah, maybe he won't have a co-star now. Maybe he'll do it on his own, or maybe they'll... Hard to replace Zoe Ball, though, isn't it?
I mean, she's obviously a consummate professional. She's been a presenter for, well, probably 30 years. You know, she's been, I remember doing Live and Kicking back in the day, her and Jamie Kingston.
I love a bit of Live and Kicking.
and The Big Breakfast, you know, she's been doing high profile presenting roles for a very, very long time. So yeah, I mean, hard to replace her, but if anyone can do it, it's Ryland. I have to say, I imagine you've probably met him around and about. He is one of the nicest guys in showbiz, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that if they was to just go with one presenter, I absolutely think Rylan can handle that gig. And yeah, I just think it will be a weird show to watch without Zoe, though, because she's just done it for so long. But like you say, she's got a radio show, and it's definitely not the last we've seen of her. But I think that's the thing. I feel nostalgic about presenters I grew up watching. Mm. And like you mentioned, Live and Kicking back in the days when there was no text or email, they used to get the big envelope out. We used to write in. Do you remember writing?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And calling in.
Yeah, people like that, Big Breakfast that I used to watch before school, them presenters to me, they're the ones that kind of, they're a little bit special to you, aren't they?
I always think of them as like the best at their job, do you know what I mean? Especially the ones that are still around, like the Jamie Theakston or Denise Van Outen or...
Yeah, and Davina McCall.
Davina, all those. They're like legends of presenting.
Yes.
Icons. And yeah, I guess best of luck to Zoe. There was also some news actually just saw before we started recording about Naomi Campbell. She has apparently adopted a baby. So... I've never imagined Naomi Campbell to be a mothering type. She just doesn't give off that vibe, but perhaps all along it's something that she's really wanted.
I think it's such a lovely like, to me it was a surprise when I saw it today in the press, literally just before we came on air. But I think, do you know what, she's probably at that time in her life where she can feel that she, because imagine being a international supermodel, mm-hmm. on private jets going here, there, everywhere, probably very, very hard to start a family.
Yeah.
So I kind of think she's probably got that part of her career out of the way and feels ready. I mean, she obviously got a lot of love and a lot of time and what she can give to a child. And what a lovely thing to do. I think there's always something very special when people adopt. Because there's so many kids out there. And I think a lovely thing. I'm looking forward to see. I hope we see the journey.
Yeah, yeah, me too. I can imagine. She posted a little picture her holding a little foot. So I don't know how much we're going to get to see anytime soon. But yeah, I mean, you speak about adoption. I have some friends going through it at the moment. And it is an intense thing to have to go through. I'm actually like, I have to be on a call at one thing. They're doing like basically all of their friends come in on a call with the adoption agency. So they basically explain to you what happens and blah, blah. It's like full on. So yeah, I can only imagine that. Maybe during the lockdown, Naomi thought, well, this is something I want to explore. You know, there certainly weren't any catwalk shows or many modeling shoots going on in the last year, were there?
Nah.
unless you did them by yourself with holding up a light
on Zoom
in your bathroom. Yeah. which I have seen.
What if Naomi did that? Crack on, Naomi. I mean, I'm here for it. You know, if you're Naomi Campbell, walk around that kitchen, walk around that island on Zoom and do a little fashion show.
With
I mean,
hair.
You're Naomi.
With your hair flapping, I can see it. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Stunning, isn't she?
Oh, 100, I mean, like one of the most stunning women of all time, I think. Like well worthy of her supermodel, you know, the 90s supermodel kind of group that she was involved with. Yeah, going to be really exciting to see, I guess.
I would watch that as a show, you know.
What, if Naomi's adoption?
If he did a, or like Naomi does motherhood.
Oh my God, I mean, sign me up. I'm reading the book, I'm reading the magazine article, I'm watching the film, I'm doing it all. right, our first guests, Naz and Eva are here, so let's get them in and have a chat. Hello, hello.
Hi.
Hello, guys, all right?
Yes, thank you, you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Thank you for joining us this evening.
No, thank you for having us. Do you know what's weird? I've watched... Towie.
Last night I made him watch Towie. He's not watching.
Yeah, I'm a little bit starstruck now. I didn't realise Bob was going to be interviewing us.
Bob just realised that he actually has his Love Island bottle just to the side of him.
I've got my bottle with the water in, but I've lost the top bit.
Oh no way! No. Well, I see what kind of strings I can pull for you, Bobby. If you can get you and live your troubles.
Did you keep yours, by the way, when you left the villa?
Oh, yeah, we've got our everything. We've got our suitcase, our water bottle.
I literally lug my suitcase to and from Eva's literally every week.
It's a bit embarrassing. It's like he's walking on the road and it's like he's got a sign on his forehead. Everyone, I was on Love Island.
Yeah, look at me. Look at me.
How funny. I love it. So I wanted to ask you guys, because we always say, like, I feel so sorry for you guys almost that did the winter version, because you came out the villa and had such a short window before we went into this pandemic. How have you found that? Because you must have lost so many opportunities that you could have had.
I think we've lost a lot of opportunities in some ways, but I think in other ways it's made our relationship probably stronger. I think, like, if you look at, like, the stats over, like, the series of Love Island, like, a lot of people, or most couples break up. And from our series, like, most couples, I think every couple is still together. So I think in a lot of ways, like, it's made people's relationships stronger. I guess with, like, financial things, maybe people have missed out on a lot of opportunities. I don't know. What do you think?
I think, speaking of opportunities, I think for myself, I wanted to come out of Love Island and go into presenting and stuff like that. And now that things are starting to open up again, I have seen opportunities. Again, like, some doors have opened up. I've started to do celebrity esports, which is like a gaming.
Oh, cool.
I had, like, literally, so I was hosting it, me and my co-host Tom Deacon.
Oh, amazing.
And we had, on my first day, I had Jimmy Carr, Joel Dummett, who were obviously people who were presenters and comedians. I was honestly shitting myself.
Can imagine.
I told them, throw me into the deep end, and I'll tell you, I was so close to drowning. It was unbelievable, but I made it through. And yeah, like I said, so in terms of opportunities, I think now that things are starting to open up, I think the main thing is you go on Love Island to find love.
Exactly. Like you said,
meant to anyway.
But how surprising is that? I didn't realise their mods that actually the most successful couples have come from the winter one. And also, although there might have been events and red carpet things you've missed, I think social media is such a big thing now, like through posts and what people can do online. That's probably outweighed it as well.
Yeah, I'd say in terms of events and whatnot, I think that's how you end up meeting new people, you network. It is a great way to obviously meet people, and I think you can bounce off each other's following. Mm-hmm. So certainly saying, you know, maybe I might have bumped into you, Bobby, at one of these events or something like that, and we would have bounced off each other, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. So I think in that sense, yeah, you've missed out. But as you said, like, social media is, to be fair, like, it's been a great source of, like, income, obviously basically a job for us at this point.
And I think in other ways as well, it's sort of given us an opportunity to step back, work out what we want to do, and give us some time to sort of adjust to, like, this new life. Because obviously, like, before I went in, I had, like, 2,000 followers on Instagram. Like, I didn't do any influencer or anything. So I think it just gave me time to like think about how I would do it, what I want to do, and just stuff like that.
Definitely. And kind of like you said, it's been really good for your relationship, because you kind of people weren't 100% sure what was going on for a little while, right? And then you kind of came out and kind of confirmed it all, and you guys are going strong.
Yeah,
I think everyone was just as confused as I was.
He's literally just showing off.
But yeah, like, I think, you know, we only knew each other for 10 days whilst we're in the villa, and obviously for the majority of the couples, I said this from day one, you only get to see people in like a finite amount of scenarios and situations, you know. I think for me especially, it was quite PG being in front of the whole nation, you know, knowing that my mum's watching. There's only a certain amount of things you can say and do on the show, putting it politely. So obviously now that, like as I said, I only knew Eva for 10 days, and then after, it's like that's when you actually start to build a proper relationship, you know, whether it's actually going to work on the outside, you know, logistically. I know Eva hates it when I say that.
There's, you know, a long story why I hate it when he says that.
Why? Go on, tell us
the story, mate.
No, I'll tell the story, thank you very much. So obviously I joined in Casa Amor, and it was basically, there was a time where, I think they even showed this on TV, where I think I even asked, I don't know how I got the balls to ask this, but I was like to Naz, who are you sort of feeling out of these girls? And he like had the audacity to like not even say my name. He like pointed his water bottle at me, and then pointed his water bottle at a girl that was next to me who was Scottish. So me and this Scottish girl were both going after Naz. And then Naz basically said that he was leaning more towards me because I'm more local to him. And I thought the audacity. Not because I'm beautiful, not because I'm smart, not because I'm intelligent, because I'm from Bromley.
You're nearby.
In my defense, like, logistics is a massive thing. Like, obviously,
I agree.
I was trying to keep her on her toes. Like, in all honesty, you were the only girl for me. Now, I'll admit that. Right here, right now. But, you know, logistics, like, as in, if you were to live, like, let's say 2 hours away from me during this lockdown period, like, there would have been, it would have been very, very difficult to, stay in touch with you, especially after knowing you for 10 days.
Yeah, geography helps.
Yeah. I think when you're in there, it's like, you don't think of certain things that you would sort of do on the outside. Like, obviously, we didn't have each other's numbers. So, and I'm very much a texter, like I'm always on my phone. I like to like text a lot of people. And when we came out, I realized that Naz wasn't. And then after going to lockdown, it was almost like, I wanted to message him 24/7, but I also didn't want to seem like a beg. He's not really been someone that's like been obsessed with their phone. So that was a bit of like a...
You know, I like to live in the real world. That's my excuse. I just like to live my life, you know. I like, when I see her, it's all happy days. But to be fair, like, I was awful on my phone in a sense. I wasn't great at texting, wasn't great at phone calls as well. Like, when I, like, I hated having phone calls and stuff. Unless it's an emergency, I just tell people, don't bother dialing my phone, so I won't pick up. again, which is awful. But even like, I FaceTimed her right the first lockdown, especially because we didn't see each other for like 3 months. So it's like, we, I had to rely on FaceTime to see Eva. And now we FaceTime like every day. So I'm a changed man. So thank you for that, Eva. You really made me a good man.
That'll help you out in the long term, eh? You know, you better get used to using your phone now that social life is coming back, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
How have you found the lockdown and stuff? Do you think that kind of pushed you closer together and kind of made it more, I mean, like I said, you waited a little while before it became official, right? But how did it affect it?
At this point, I can't really get rid of her, to be honest. Like, I don't know if any closer if we tried.
You're
like,
so annoying. I think at first, it was a bit of a struggle because we were just getting to really know each other, and then we went into lockdown. So I think, obviously, for the first week of lockdown, like, you're still trying to keep up the communication, and still trying to keep things going. But then you get 2 months down the line, you just think, is this a bit of a force? Like, not that I didn't.
It's like... You know, in a sense, that this is where it's the heart grow fonder when we eventually met up. But when you don't see someone for 3 months, it's like you actually forget what they were like. You know,
in
their presence, especially after only knowing her for about I'd say a month before going to 3 month lockdown. So I knew you in lockdown for longer than I knew you as actual. I don't know if that makes sense.
You knew me more on FaceTime than in real life.
Yeah, exactly. So it was quite difficult in that sense. But as I said, like the second we met up, I was like, oh my God, like, I remember exactly why I really liked this girl.
And then I think after like, finally, after like 10 years of making our relationship official, I think the second lockdown and then the third lockdown, no shade by the way, I think the second lockdown and the third lockdown made us grow closer because Naz was staying at mine and like basically the whole of lockdown, weren't you?
Yeah.
So then I think obviously after being like in a proper relationship, after knowing, like getting to know each other, it then made us stronger. But I think the first lockdown was, it could have gone either way for us, couldn't it?
Right.
Yeah. And I think normally, you know, like I thought in my head, like living with someone would be quite intense, you know, is especially in lockdown, there's not really much you can do, but I can genuinely say that I've had so much fun living with her. Like she's not funny, but she is very entertaining. I don't know how that makes sense.
I'm very funny.
Yeah, no, she's very entertaining, like very sweet, very kind, very caring, and very considerate, you know. Obviously, like we live in a one bedroom flat at the moment.
Yeah.
So it is quite tight, the space, but again, it is just really
I think third lockdown I enjoyed the most. I have to admit.
Yeah, we're getting stronger and stronger, aren't we?
So are you living together now?
At the moment, we're not. So Naz has been my bubble, obviously, like throughout the whole thing. But Naz, well, I mean, the past week Naz has been here, but he's sort of like to and from.
Yeah, that's why I keep lugging the Love Island suitcase, bro. But so it's just nice, like, because obviously I go home, make sure my family's all okay. Basically have my own life away from Eve, you know. I feel like also having space as well is quite nice, you know, doing your own things. Obviously, she's from London, I'm from London, so she has her mates that she can always see, and I obviously have my mates. We all play football together, we all chill together, and then yeah, it's just nice. Like, I feel like we have like the perfect balance.
Yeah, then when he goes, I get to like clean the flat up, sort my life out, and then he comes back and messes it all up again.
This is what really annoys me, because I always offer to cook, to clean, to help out where I can. But she just gets annoyed at me. She goes, no, you're doing it wrong. But then she's at me for not doing anything. So it's like, it's a catch 22. Like, I actually can't win. But
it's more rag than it's worth. Like, if you want something done properly, just do it yourself. Because he'll just offer to do something and then just create more mess, more havoc, and I just can't be bothered for it.
Yeah, works a lot, not harder.
And you know you're going to end up redoing it anyway. So you think, actually, I'll just
do it. That's the thing. There was one time he was like, oh no, I'll cut the pepper. You know, like one of those like bell peppers. Yeah. So you cut it. The seeds, honestly, I didn't even know Pep had this many seeds. I was all over the kitchen. I could barely enter the kitchen. It was just full of seeds.
This is what you learn when you're living with another person, you know? Like, this is...
Well, I know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I left to go home that evening as well, so yeah, I don't know if it ended that well.
But I think realistically, you know, it's like, you if you've only known each other for a year, I think that's kind of the normal setup, right? Like, you shouldn't rush it. You should, like, work out all these things. It's quite normal, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know, because it is normal, like, in a normal situation, but I think because, obviously, our mutual friends are, like, other islanders.
Yeah.
And all of them have basically moved in together, so not that there's any pressure from anyone, but it's a bit like, oh, all of our friends have moved in together, so should we just, like, move in together?
You see, this is the difference between me and Eva, like, as in, I'm trying to go at my own pace, which is why it took me 6 months to ask her to be my girlfriend.
Six months.
Yeah,
I think that's fine though. He's better than he knows. Better that you know. Better that Naz knows what he wants exactly. and doesn't end up messing around long term.
He should have just taken one look at me and you. I don't know why it took him 6 months.
Anyway, besides all that, I just want to, you know, just go at like a normal pace. You know, not try to compare ourselves to anyone else. You know, we have our own journey to go on. So I think going slow and steady. So far, so good.
Right. He's the sensible one. I'm the one that's like...
Yeah, she's the one saying, when can we move into an apartment in Chelsea? I was like, well...
And to be fair, it's been strange. Obviously, to meet on a TV show in general is a strange situation. Then to have a pandemic and have to do the lockdown. So really, since meeting each other and your relationship, the world's kind of been a bit weird, hasn't it? So I think, actually, you guys have done amazing to be as strong as you are and to be in your situation.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. I mean, even us sometimes, we're like, wow, like, I can't believe like this has actually happened. Like, sometimes we are a bit like, that's so strange, because I didn't really go on Love Island like expecting to find someone. That was sort of like the last thing on my list. I was like, oh, I'm going to get followers, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that. So it was literally like the last thing that I thought would happen. And then I ended up getting like actually finding love over anything else. So like it worked out weird, but I'm happy. Like, I'm really happy with how it worked out.
Yeah, and I think the fact that, you know, we have gone through quite an unusual situation and obviously a pandemic and whatnot, I think there's a lot of things for us to look forward to, in a sense that we really want to go traveling together.
Yeah.
There's loads of like exciting things, like even to go to like a theatre or just something simple like that. Today we went for our first lunch out of lockdown. We were just like, wow. Like,
oh, like sitting indoors lunch.
Yeah, we're just like, wow, like this is crazy. Like, this is what the world is now. So,
I love that. Where did you go?
Oh, we went to the drawing room. It's like a local cafe, eatery.
Oh, nice. It's always the funny thing about it, isn't it? When you meet someone like on Love Island, it all goes the other way around. So normally you would go out for a dinner with someone or a drink first, but you end up living with people first and meeting that way around. It always cracks me up. But honestly, you two are like couple goals.
Oh, thank you.
I love, because I think the best is yet to come for you two.
I think so. Like, we do talk a lot about like the future and like what we want. And as Nav said, because obviously we've been locked down for like the whole of our relationship, we've not been able to do things that we would love to do. And in a way, it's been quite nice because we can look forward to it, like go traveling, move in together. Like, we want to go to so many places, don't we?
Yeah. So, I think in the politest way, this has probably been like, like the worst kind of period, if that makes sense, as in that like, we've been cooped
in the politest
up.
In the world, you mean?
No. What I mean is like, as in we've been in a pandemic. Do you know what I mean? And like, we're still together. We're still like quite lovey dovey. I feel like we're still in the honeymoon phase.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, it's quite soppy. I don't know why I'm being really soppy actually today.
No, I don't know why. Because I said we were in a honeymoon phase a few weeks ago. Who was like, oh, we're well out of that.
I just say it to wind her up, but obviously. But like I said, I feel like there's a lot of exciting things. Like the best, as you said, probably like the best is still yet to come.
And what do you have planned this summer? Do you have anything exciting coming up now that things are starting to
unlock? You know what is hilarious? Yeah, so first, so your birthday.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, Eva's birthday is on, I probably shouldn't be announcing this on any type of like radio show to be fair, but her birthday is on that towards the end of June, July, 23rd of July.
Got it.
So
it's not even on my birthday.
So basically she was asking me, oh, so like what are we doing for my birthday? And I was like, well, like what do you want to do? And then she gave me a detailed plan. She goes, right,
of course.
We're going to Paris for the week and then we're gonna go to Disneyland for the last 3 days. It would be lovely. And I was like, and she goes, oh, I'd love that. I was like, I bloody bet you'd love that.
I told him this a few months ago so that when it comes to the time it will be like a nice surprise, because I would have forgotten that I told him that. But like to this day, he still keeps on bringing it up. And I'm like, can you not? Because I told you in January for a reason, like I want to be surprised, but now I'm not going to be surprised. Like when you take me to Euro Disney.
Honestly, I am the biggest wind up merchant. So she was like to me, oh, so she must have told me in January and then like March time, she goes, oh, for my birthday, you know, I think I might have a garden party, you know, with invite this person, that person. I was like, well, how are you going to host it when you're in France? And she's like, what? Oh, okay. I keep bringing it up like I've booked the tickets, but I haven't. So
I mean, I wouldn't want at the moment booking tickets anywhere seems like a bad idea. You just never know what's going to happen. And but
that's my excuse.
He says, "I'm like, can you just stop talking about it? Because I want it to be a surprise." And he's like, "Listen, love, the only surprise you're getting is when you got your case back, and we're not going anywhere."
Yeah, when the government tell you that plane and train is cancelled, and you're not leaving this country. Yeah, I mean that's the thing. It's been quite nice seeing people going on holiday and stuff. But I still think for me, I'd rather just leave it for a bit, just until
let the dust settle a little bit.
We've got a lot of like mental plans, like plans in our head to go away, but like nothing actually like proper, have we?
No.
Like, we want to go to Spain. We've got all these ideas. We want to go to Spain. We want to go to Mykonos. We want to go to Thailand.
But what about actually moving in together? Is that something that seriously might happen? You think?
I think eventually, maybe not.
Don't want to put any pressure on your relationship, but just.
Jesus Christ, Stephen. we definitely will do.
I think in the next point. Year.
Yeah, in the next don't quote us on that. As I said, like I've had so much fun up until now, like I can't see why we wouldn't move in together.
Yeah.
Will you be watching the next series of Love Island? It's not gonna be long till it's on.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, oh my God, it's literally coming around in like, is it June, July?
Yeah, June, I think, yeah.
So, I've basically got no choice but to watch it because I think I'm doing a commentary for ITV, so I'm going to be forced to watch it. But in all honesty, I've never really watched Love Island before. I think I've watched about 5 episodes over the 6 series.
Oh, wow, okay.
So I basically had no idea what I was signing up for. So it will be quite interesting to know, or like to see it from my point of view now, knowing kind of what goes on behind the scenes. Obviously, I won't tell you guys, but you probably might know a thing or two about a thing or two.
Exactly.
No, I'm really excited to watch it. I've always watched Love Island. I think I started watching it like season 3, so I've watched it for like the past 6 series. I basically watched my series because I was only in it like 5 minutes. But I'm going to really enjoy watching it because I'm going to see like what they decide to put out. I'm going to be able to like, you know, just like see it from sort of like the behind the scenes perspective, which I'm excited for.
Well, just another sign that things are getting a little bit better. Because obviously we didn't have it last summer, did we?
Yeah, I think it's something for everyone to look forward to again, because I've always felt like everyone around me talks about Love Island. It's quite a feel-good.
Mm.
It's like, it's a bit like sport, you know, like everyone goes in, they talk about sports and like the way the general public just talk about Love Island. It's like something that brings everyone together. Everyone's got an opinion on it. Yeah. Everyone, you know, loves the drama, the gossip that revolves around it. So I think, yeah, it will be like a nice feel-good factor again. Obviously, fingers crossed there will be a bit of sun, you know, I mean, the weather at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, we can but hope.
Yeah, so hopefully it'll just be like a nice summer vibe, you know, hopefully with lockdown lifting as well, everyone will be in a great mood. So
it is such a talking point though. I feel like when it's on, everyone watches it. Like when I was like, obviously when I wasn't in it for like all of the summers and I'd be at work or something, like every day we'd go into work, we'd be like, did you watch Love Island last night? And like you would just talk to like a random about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what people will be looking forward to, definitely. It's a bit of a, like Bob said, a bit of a return to normality.
Well,
thanks so much guys for joining us, Stephen, really appreciate it, and good luck with this commentary thing on Love Island, and with the esports. Really great to speak to you both. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care, guys. Bye.
You said it, couple goals. Yeah, really into them. They seem like a really sweet couple. And down to earth.
And I love the way they're doing things. I feel like they don't feel like they're conforming to pressure, which is really nice.
Especially, that Love Island, exactly like you said, that Love Island thing, right? Where, you rush and they basically
get straight off the easy jet and then you go straight to the letting agent.
Yeah, straight to your Airbnb. Well, we've got Clelia here, so let's get her in.
Here she is.
Ah!
Clay, how are you, babes?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, doing good. I was just saying, let's been a little bit run down the last couple of days, but I find that when a series ends, do you get a little bit like your body just goes into a weird rough mode?
Bob, I have been saying to my family the last week, I have been so lethargic. I can't do anything. I feel so tired. And I started to think, like, is it hay fever? Am I suffering so bad?
Is it COVID?
Exactly. My body physically aches. Yeah.
I think it's the shock of the last series. How did you find it?
I mean, it was a whirlwind for me. It was mental. I had a lot going on at the start, I think, with the Amber and Rem and all that jazz. It was a different series for me than it has been for the past couple of years.
I think you found the same, didn't you, Bob? Felt a bit different this time around.
Definitely.
Yeah. I'm not going to go into details, but just a bit different.
Yeah, but very, very bit. Different. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like you say, you started dating on it. How did you find that, Clay? Because this is like the first series that we've really seen you multiple dating.
Like, it was strange. Like, when I first joined the show, I was like sort of seeing Dan. So that was the last time viewers had sort of saw me like dating or even like talking about a guy. So I think it was weird for them and it was weird for me, but it's actually, I find it quite nice to date on camera because it's like you can just sort of be yourself. I felt like I could be myself because I'm so used to being on the show and stuff, so I felt like it was quite easy, but maybe for Rem being new it might have been a bit more difficult, but I quite enjoyed it, to be fair.
Does it feel a bit weird knowing that people are going to watch it and maybe judge what you say? Do you kind of end up second guessing? Because not only are you then kind of trying to get to know this person or that, but then you're also aware that people are watching. I don't know, it must be weird.
Yeah, because it's like you want to say like nice things to them, but like you don't want to say things that might offend other people. It's really hard, actually.
Or you come in out in an edit looking like really beggy or something, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Really too nice,
yeah.
Sort of like. Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
I got trolled for even saying to him, I'm not interested, like people hated me for that, but got to do what you got to do.
A little stick for that, Clay.
Yeah, I did. But then I think I got the same amount of love as I got stick, but I was quite shocked. I thought I was doing quite a decent thing by telling him to his face and not doing over text and all that stuff, but apparently not.
I just think dating on camera is one of the hardest things, but even dating in general, But for someone who everyone thinks is the most confident person in the world, when it comes to dating, I'm so not. I mean, you know me inside out, clearly.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I could sit on live TV or do a radio show every week, no problem at all. But to go up to someone and go fancy a steak and chips or a bit of a loo,
maybe it's the way you say it, Bob.
Maybe, but I just thought, I don't know what it is. I just get really awkward with dates, and then knowing that there's like six cameramen around you.
Yeah, that's the hardest bit. Like, the fun dates are good, but when it's a dinner date and you're like I was trying to get to know Rem, like, it was so, it couldn't have been any more real. So it was like sweating, like watching everyone, and then they, when we have our little breaks, they're like, oh, this is so cute, and you're like, do you want your date to be cute? Do you want it to be funny? What do you want it to be like?
I guess as well, you guys were quite lucky, because when this series first started, we still couldn't go into restaurants and stuff, but you guys could, couldn't you? I remember seeing earlier on, it was like, oh, the excitement of them being able to sit like in someone's garden when we couldn't. But then as this series has gone on, so the restrictions has lifted, has it changed anything on set? Actually, go to both of you to ask that. Or is everything still quite strict?
I think it was hard at the start because the fans thought that we were like, you know, really enjoying ourselves going out, but these places had opened for filming. So it wasn't like anyone was, you know, enjoying themselves, but it wasn't.
You were working. It wasn't like.
Yeah, it wasn't what you think, what it looked like, in a sense. Like, I saw there was a lot of like complaints about what we were even doing, but it was just all to film the show. It's just to get our stories across. We just needed a location. But it was nice towards the end, like, everyone was getting to be together a lot more and see each other a lot more, which was nice, and it felt more real. Like, it just doesn't feel normal when you've got to like stand 2 meters away from someone when you're trying to talk to them or try to have a go at them,
shout at them.
Yeah.
But did you find it weirdly, because I definitely did, I think the first meal I had, I mean, granted, didn't end the best, but regardless of the context of the conversation, I had this like weird moment where I sat at a dinner table and thought, I've not done this for months. Hadn't been in a restaurant. And like, I know you guys have been filming in clubs and stuff. And there's that weird moment where we hadn't been allowed to do it for so long.
Yeah, and you sort of like don't know what to do with yourself. You're like, oh, do we act normal? Do we have a little bit of a dance? Do we not?
It's like, yeah, the whole, this isn't just people filming TOWIE, right? This is going to be people generally when things start to open.
Yeah.
Like I don't know quite how, you know, we have to order everything on an app on the phone. We can't go up to a bar, in a pub. It's just going to be weird, isn't it?
I haven't actually been out, well, since yesterday, since the new ones, into a restaurant properly. And that's going to be strange, I think. Well, a pub's going to be the weirdest thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like going up to the bar and like, yeah, that's just going to be bizarre. I actually should go to the pub soon.
we'll organize it.
Yes.
So Clay, looking back on the last 3 months of our last series, which I think series 28 now, have you got any post series regrets, or is there one thing you would change?
You know what? No. I actually think this was one of the first series in a while where I felt fully back to my normal self and felt like, because I've got this family support at home now, I feel like I can sort of go to filming and sort of like say exactly what I want to say and not like feel too shy or feel too nervous about it. And because of that, I'm like, I wouldn't regret anything that I've done, because I felt like I was proud of what I did for myself, not proud of like getting into arguments, but I'm proud of myself, if that makes sense.
Oh, good for you. It's nice when you have a series like that.
Yeah, it's, I just feel like it was
you said it, Bob. I didn't ask the question, all right?
we'll take that bit out.
But yeah, I mean, it must be funny when you are like needing a real life, but then you do this show and then, you know, something like it says at the beginning, set up for the viewer's entertainment, right? But you are still living through it.
It's still real stories. It's still real. Like, everything I'd done this series couldn't have been any more. It would have happened if the cameras weren't there, you know? And that's what's important about TOWIE, is keeping the realness, I think.
And I think it's that disclaimer that confuses some people sometimes, because even still, after 10 years, people go to me in Sainsbury's or wherever, but how fake is it, or how much is real?
And yeah. Like,
no, it's real. Like,
I know.
Like, but we know you get a script, and like, no, there ain't no script. I almost wish we did.
Yeah, that's what I say. I say, I wish I had a script, because it'd be a lot easier from what I actually want to say.
Yeah, because then you quite, it's like going into an argument with everything, a point by point plan that you want to get through in this argument with someone. Plus,
we'd be getting paid more. We'd be active.
Yeah. you'd be in the what's it called, the acting union and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think, obviously this series coming to an end, are you expecting to come back? Are you hoping that you'll come back? What's kind of your
thinking? Hope so. Yeah, I mean, I really hope so. I know that each series, no one really knows what's going to happen. I mean, I love doing the show. As sometimes as hard as it is, I absolutely love it. I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't, you know. So I hope so.
And what have you got planned for the 3 months off, Clay?
Well, I was going to go to Ibiza, but that's been cancelled. I just want to have a lovely holiday, whether it's just a little one or a long one, just a holiday.
Anything, anywhere, yeah.
And get me out of this house. Get me out of Essex. I love you, Essex, but no, I need a way.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Is there anything else other than Ibiza then? Have you got planned, or is it just going to be a quiet one, do you think? I guess for a lot of people, it's just kind of wait and see, isn't it?
Yeah, we're going to just play it by ear, I think. I'm going to go back to Devon's with some family and friends for sure. But I just want to enjoy myself. I feel like I was so good in lockdown. Like, I can't tell you, because I live with my nan, who's 80 and vulnerable. Even when you could sort of go and meet people, I wasn't. I was staying in like a grandma, like I was. And so I feel like, because I was so like a goody two shoes with the rules and sticking to everything, I just want to have fun and enjoy myself. Like, it's just been too much.
I mean, I realized the other day, the only time I'd left London was to go to Essex, because I'd left my phone in an Uber that I had to go and pick up since August or beginning of September last year. That's the only time I've left London. It's so depressing.
But
I think so many people are in the same boat, right? I mean, it's just the way it is, people, and you kind of accepted it. But you know, yes, I mean, I think get me to that event, get me to that red carpet thing, get me to that holiday, get me to spend an afternoon with my blooming sister and her kids. I don't care, just anything, as long as I'm out of London and doing something new.
Get me to the Wimpy.
Yeah.
I'm just happy to go and eat a Wimpy or pie and mash, you know, a pie and mash shop.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good days.
Normal life.
They're coming. Well, they're almost here now, aren't they?
They are, I think so. We're allowed to not social distance with our friends as of yesterday, right?
Basically, yeah, we can hug. Yeah. You can hug.
Yeah,
so, I think they want you to still be careful, but most people are getting vaccinated now and stuff, aren't they? And I'm imagining if you're living with someone, your grandma's in her 80s, she's probably had both vaccines. Yeah,
so mine up next on the list.
Oh yeah, well, we've just been talking about that, because I've got my second one on Thursday, but I was just lucky. I just got a text out of nowhere. So yeah, I mean, it was...
Lucky.
I know, I feel very lucky.
I really want mine. I'm a big believer in it. I mean, I really want it ASAP.
Yeah, and it's a nice feeling once you get it done. It does make you feel like you can get back to normal.
Yeah, like, it made my nan feel so much better. Even though she's barely crossed the door, she feels like people can come round. She's like, no worries. Like, she just feels, even if it's just a mental thing, isn't it?
Yeah, no. Oh, bless her.
Well, Clelia, thanks so much for joining us this evening. Really appreciate it. And
you're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
And hopefully we'll see you in the next series. I can't imagine why we wouldn't.
I hope so.
And go and enjoy your evening and enjoy your summer.
Thank you. You too. Thanks so much.
Bye, darling. Love you.
Bye.
Oh, bless her. Do you know what always cracks me up? Is when any of my lot we're on a Zoom, we're always in bed.
Yeah, what the hell is that? That is such a good point.
And I've really noticed it. Like, I'm like, all we do is you just.
Who else have we spoken to that was just in their bed? I'm trying to remember. Yeah, there's been a few, haven't there?
Pretty much everyone from Essex.
Oh,
Afron, Georgia, I think Frankie Essex.
Oh yeah, Frankie. Yeah.
Fern.
I mean, yeah, we've definitely. I think maybe you guys need to find a desk or something to sit at. You know, like. Or a nice, yeah. You know, lounge setup like I've got here.
Maybe there's a business idea, Bobby's Egg Bowls.
Yeah, but to be honest, Bob, we're all going to be off Zoom eventually. So, well, at least most of the time. So, you know, we'll have to see how it goes.
Oh, I'd imagine. What you got planned for the week ahead, babes?
Well, it's Eurovision-tastic. I am going to my first official house party around my friend's house for Eurovision. Not many of us, but I'm going anyway, and we're going to have cocktails and we're going to eat crisps and just do all the normal things that I do on Eurovision. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
I bet that'll be quite emotional, especially because it's something you do religiously every year, to all be together, even just to eat a sensation out and about. Do you know what I mean?
It's so funny you say that. My friend said to me, are you going to bring tissues? Because I guarantee you're going to cry. And I was like, I probably am. I probably am going to have a little tear. Because, yeah, it's a big deal. It's nice to feel that things are normal. And it may, yeah, yes, I get it. It's just Eurovision. I'm not crying about Eurovision. It's more the social aspect of it that is going to be a big deal. So, yeah, I am looking forward to that. What about you?
So what am I going to do? I'm going to try and at least get one reservation where I can either go for a bit of lunch or a bit of dinner and sit indoors.
Are you a bit of a homebody, Bob? I get the feeling that you are, really.
Do you know what? I am a little bit. I am quite homely, and especially if everything that goes on, I just try and, unless it's for work purposes, I've been very conscious to not going out for the sake of going out. But yeah, want to definitely start having that normality back. I will do a lot more, I think, subconsciously, because when I have that second vaccination, I will feel a lot better about it.
Yeah.
But because I'm going into the care home and stuff, I'm just that little bit cautious. But yeah, I think this just is showing where my mentality has been for a year. I just want to go and eat. I just want to go to all the restaurants that I've not been able to go to. I want to wait. Oh, I am going to catch up with a few friends at the weekend, which will be lovely, especially if the sun's a little bit better. And, yeah, just start doing the things we've not been able to do. But I wanted to ask you, like, obviously you pre-recalled this, just like a little prediction, who's your money on for Eurovision?
Oh, good question. I think that it's between France... I'm going to say three.
Okay.
France, Italy and Malta, but I think France are going to do it.
Because of the song choice?
The song, I think it's very intimate, very very small, very beautiful. The woman that sings, it's very beautiful. It's just like, I just think it's very classy. It's what people want to hear. I just got a feeling in my waters. I mean, having said that, it could also come 24th. I'm notoriously wrong at predicting who's going to win. So,
but who would you like to win? If I said to you, there's the mic, you can decide, forget the point system.
Iceland. Your decision. Iceland. Love so you remember last year, there was the guy that became kind of internet famous from Iceland. He had the green jumper with his face on, long hair. His name is Danny Freya.
Yeah.
So he's back this year for Iceland. If I had my way, they would win. But also, if I'm going to go next year, I'd probably prefer it to be Malta because it's going to be nicer weather and a bit warmer.
Is that how it works? So whoever wins hosts it
the next year, yeah.
Oh, I see.
So if you get Iceland, probably quite nice, but cold. But Malta would be the nice place to go.
So that's why it's never held here.
Because we never win. We haven't won since 97.
Why is that?
Combination of things, I think. I think we don't enter decent enough songs. We don't take it seriously enough. And probably a little bit of politics. But I actually don't think that a lot of people vote because of that. I think they'll vote for a decent song if it's staged well. Yeah, that's my opinion on it.
We'll sign up next year. Download the application form.
Can you imagine? Katie Price tried to do it, about 20 years ago. I think we'd probably give her a run for her money in terms of how we'd do.
I mean, they'd give us points out of pity.
Would they, Bob? Would they? I don't know.
We stick it out with the Walker sensation, so I think yeah. Hummus, carrot battens, and have a lovely old night.
Exactly, basically exactly that. Well, I guess next week we'll be able to confirm what happened at Eurovision. And I'll, even if you haven't watched it, Bob, I'm going to give you a full run through.
Definitely. So. And I'll tell you where I've managed to book a table and where I've gone to eat.
You better do it. You better do it.
Oh, 100%. I'm doing it.
Good. Oh. All right. Well, great show. Thanks for listening and speak next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.